Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Just intrigued the other day here when Murphy, in defense of some of the things the King of Hair says in his State of the State speech, Jersey values like stockpiling abortion pills. Really? You know, we got to worry about Trump, and he's not going to impact our Jersey values. We have to turn to somebody like Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia to break down what those Jersey values are. I'm looking at a synopsis of the speech. It's Route 70 and 73, or is it Roots, Dan? It's Route 70 and
73.com, Dom. 70and73.com.
70and73.com. And the bullet points alone take up a page here. We went through some of the highlights, but one of them, protect reproductive freedom by stockpiling the abortion pill supply and scrapping out-of-pocket expenses for abortion, scrapping out-of-pocket expenses for abortion services. Okay? The mobile driver's license is another thing because that gets to voter ID. Let's go to Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia back with us on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Dawn, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Dom. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, you're the only one I've had to cite you to correct, and you were right. It was just too rich. You have to forgive us in talk radio to say that teachers didn't have to read in Jersey under the previous iteration of Murphy, and you corrected that. But there were a lot of things here, your background formerly as a teacher and now in the Assembly, that I wanted to get to. And then, of course, the Jersey values. What are they, as Murphy enunciates them? I'm slightly on board with the cell phone preoccupation, but I hear parents and others, and I kind of like put the pressure on the local school boards to decide this themselves, exactly what they're going to do. So do you think, being in schools as I was, that banning the cell phones essentially through the state board of education, is that the right way to go?
Well, the way I look at the situation is most schools across the state of New Jersey have a cell phone policy. The charter school districts that I work with instituted a cell phone policy years ago, and it was when smartphones started becoming more popular with students and parents were buying them for their children. And what that looked like is students were allowed to have the phone prior to the school day starting. They were allowed to take them out at the end of the day. During the day, they could either put them in their locker, carry them in their pocket as long as they were off, you know, just to kind of lend a sense of security. Because don't forget, and especially in some of these more populous or urban districts, you have children who might take public transportation to school, children who walk to school, and they really need, you know, they need that layer of security. And I completely agree with that. However, I've seen firsthand, being a principal, you know, in a school, that the students do misuse them. They are quite a distraction. They take up a ton of instructional time when you would have to say the student put them away. When we give state testing, for instance, if a student has a phone out, since that actually is a portal to information for everything, the test becomes invalidated for the group. There's just so many layers to having students having, you know, automatic access on their personal cell phone. They can't be tracked. So, for instance, when a school gives a school-issued Chromebook or iPad or something along those lines, it's on the school network. And, you know, we, our IT can monitor the sites that the students are going to. So, I mean, there's a whole bevy of problems that come with it. But I also understand the other side of it, you know, where people want that comfort that their children are able, you know, to contact them in the case of an emergency. That's completely valid. So I really like Florida's law, quite honestly, signed by Ron DeSantis. I think it was back in either March or May of 2023. And I think it went into effect that following school year. What they did in Florida was very similar to that. The students could have the cell phone before, they could have the cell phone after, but they didn't want them to use it in classrooms or during transitions. So I agree with that.
Okay. One other thing in there, too, and it's such an easy target with Murphy to me that I don't want to just be knee-jerk on him. If he wants to have 16- and 17-year-olds voting in school board, I get the idea they'll become more active. But it just seems to me it's another ploy to get younger and younger people voting by Democrats, that this is what they're really all about.
I honestly, I think it's outrageous, and I think it's silly. I mean, don't forget, this is the same, you know, mentality that brought us, if you get your vaccine, we'll get you French fries and a hamburger, you know, like that came across the border in New York. I mean, children are extraordinarily impressionable. They're young, and there's a reason why 18 is considered the age of adulthood. I do not believe that children under the age of 18 should be voting. I do not agree with that.
Yeah, I don't either. And there's no limit to where this goes. Was there anything else in there, Dawn, particularly before we talk Jersey values, about schools or anything related to that long-term funding? Is there something else in there you picked up on?
Well, one thing I thought that was completely ridiculous is Murphy just kept touting how the schools, you know, were fully funded. And we all know over 100 schools across the state of New Jersey, my district, Roxbury, got hit particularly hard in Morris County. Jackson School District might have been obliterated more than any school. And then we just see in East Orange Public Schools laid off 60-plus teachers mid-year because they didn't have the funds to continue to pay them. So here's this guy up there, you know, looking like the cat that ate the canary, patting himself on the back for fully funding a terrible Corzine era school funding formula that miserably fails. It's woefully inadequate. And he's acting as if he did something great. That was embarrassing. I had secondhand embarrassment for the man.
Now, Dawn, the thing that most intrigued you, and you're our person to go to on this, Dan and I were saying, oh yeah, we got to get what Dawn will say, is when Murphy keeps on referencing Jersey values. And these guys were on me about that. I know he doesn't fold the pizza and all that. You know, the Massachusetts, I wasn't going to attack him for that. The pizza eating is aside. What is it that you've been able to intuit he means by Jersey values? And what would you say is a Jersey value?
Well, first, I do think that his version of Jersey values comes directly from a progressive Massachusetts playbook. So I think it prioritizes big government. To him, it's extreme environmental mandates that are hurting small business. Apparently, it's spending like a drunken sailor. Must be a Jersey value in his mind because that's what he and his little group there do. And, you know, policies that put criminals before law-abiding citizens. So if that's Jersey values, I don't think that's Jersey values the way I see Jersey values. I mean, we're real people. It's about hard work, self-reliance. We stand up for what's right, like regardless of who pushes you around. Look at us even in the legislature. You know, we're in a minority party and we punch back. We're not going to stop punching back because it really means having some fight in you and not fight for this ridiculous progressive nonsense straight out of Boston.
Yeah, I think that is the value. Now, somehow or another, he linked it to stockpiling the abortion pills. And again, Trump is not crazed. It's an obvious personal thing with him. He's not crazed over coming after the issue of abortion. I think Jersey's put it into their constitution, right?
Yeah, it is in our constitution. But, you know, separate from that, I found it unbelievably paradoxical to say, you know, he stressed caring for children and nurture New Jersey.
Yes,
and,
right.
You know, the First Lady's initiatives. You know, you want to take care of the kids, quote, from the cradle through college. And then in the next breath, free abortions for everyone. You know, and what I find disturbing with that is, yes, what you had said is Trump is not incredibly aggressive on any type of rolling back, you know, abortion laws. He actually believes that it should go to the states, right, which is rightfully so. However, there was a Marist poll that said only 27% of New Jerseyans agree with the extreme nature of New Jersey's abortion law. So that's abortion up till birth, no parental notification, you know, all of those things. So for him to tout, you know, about stockpiling 6 months of the abortion pill, which is something that would be used in a very early stage of pregnancy. I mean, that was pandering. That was grandstanding. That was always, the Democrats have this obsession with coming back to that issue, talking about the extreme, you know, and claiming that everything's going to be overturned and it's not real. And I wish they would dig in to some issues here that they actually are going to have impact on, or that are quite figuratively killing the residents of New Jersey, instead of fixating on killing the pre-born residents of New Jersey.
We're talking with Dawn Fantasia, but Dawn, to that point, he did pivot toward affordability. He didn't use that word, but you know what I mean? And you see this, I think of the woman, well, I think it's a male from Delaware, is the first openly trans person. And every time interviewed, he says, well, I wish they would stop the trans stuff and cultural issues. We should be talking about, she's laser focused on affordability, but she's a progressive. Ridding us of the progressives in government would bring inflation down by 5 points, I think, tomorrow. They're the architects of it, but they keep on talking about affordability.
That's another paradox, right? It just doesn't make sense. I feel like I'm living in a world of cognitive dissonance with this group. I mean, look at what the NJBIA came out with, right? Right after they came out with a statement and they criticized Murphy's policies that, you know, we're choking businesses with taxes, increased regulatory costs. You know, New Jersey has the highest corporate business tax in the entire country, and our property taxes are just outlandish. They're absurd. And yet they tout fairer, stronger New Jersey, affordable. I literally feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone when I'm sitting in that chamber there.
Yeah, without a doubt. So moving forward, we noticed today, Dawn, you may have been doing other things. In the Congress, two of the leaders, at least the ones I think are good shots for the Democrats, Sherrill and Gottheimer, both voted to deport people involved with sex crimes that are here illegally. Norcross, in the safe seat, gave us a lecture on the Constitution and what he was protecting. But these two last week refused to vote on Lake and Riley. So maybe the heat was turned up enough that they realized this issue in the election is going to have prominence.
I think it's necessary. I mean, again, when you talk about those Jersey values, Jersey is fiercely protective of the people we love. And when you have the potential of people getting hurt, you know, by criminals that are here, I mean, this isn't a bleeding heart story. These are hardened criminals. These are rapists. These are people who intend harm on us. And anyone who would vote against that and say somehow constitutionally, you know, they are protected. I understand all, this is a misunderstanding from some people. They feel if you're not a citizen, you don't have constitutional protections. You do have constitutional protections. However, when you cross over the border illegally, you have committed a crime. So that right then and there is a reason to leave. It is illegal to cross the border. So that right then and there is a qualifier, and why anybody would want to keep any of these individuals here in the United States is mind-blowing. Make it make sense.
For you coming up now, we're into a new year. What's the major issue, either you or you see it going across Jersey, that's going to play out politically? Something I heard the other day, we were at a big conference, affordability, of course, all these issues. What is it that will be determinative once we get through the primaries?
I think it's honestly going to be The school funding formula in New Jersey, it's going to come down to our wallets. You saw people put some of these progressive or social issues aside, because at the end of the day, I believe New Jerseyans will vote with their wallets. And when we are choked out to the degree that we are, it's going to be that. It's going to be safety of the community. So that is going to be a big one, in my opinion. So you have those two together. And it's also going to be diverting away, and this is somewhat of a green issue, but all of these, you know, green outlandish initiatives that we don't have the infrastructure for, and all of those mandates, they're going to go away pretty quick. So I think it's those three issues.
Not bird feeders and the bears.
Well, I'm still, you know, we got rid of the bird feeder part. We got rid of the deer baiting part. But now I'm stuck on the trash part. So I almost, you know, I'm waiting. I'm gearing up for a fight on that one for those alleged bear-proof trash cans. So I'm just waiting.
All right, Dawn. Thank you. Good to have you back. I didn't know you were a principal, by the way. What grade level?
I was a middle school principal. I had students in grades 4 through 8 for about 6 years, and now I actually work at our central office as a district administrator. But yeah, the middle school is really, really my favorite age group.
Thank you, Dawn. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you. Take care.
Dawn Fantasia here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, let's get a couple people in on the side question today. These are some pretty good ones from the world of sports.
Scott, me and Henry are vehemently disagreeing with Dawn, by the way.
On
the idea that middle school students are the best group of age.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, junior high strikes me as a bad one.
It's like, right,
so,
when you
yeah.
each, that, like, 12-year-old, 11-12-year-old.
Well, 4 or 5, I don't think are too bad. It's the 7th, 8th grade.
Yeah,
so
the 8th grade, yeah, like yeah, middle
yeah.
school.
Yeah, yeah well, seventh, that's junior high, yeah, I guess. Yeah,
yeah like 5, thing. I guess middle yeah. is what, considered 5 to 8 now, or 6, 6
depends
7,
depends on the
eight.
School district, 6, 7, yeah. 8. 6 through 8, I'd say it's typical.
Yeah,
I'll
face
5, some add 9.
Yeah, well, she liked it. Let's go to Scott in Mount Laurel. I think he has a pretty good one. All right, Scott, who's your one-hit wonder?
Well, you know, back in 2013, as we've heard someplace before, everybody was all excited about a Phillies player, thinking it was going to be Dom time for the next 10 years.
There's the 1-2 pitch. And that's a ball, 2-2. And, you know, so many times in the past we've had prospects coming up, you know, that we thought they were going to be great. Like Dom Brown came up, had a great month, and we're all like, hey, this is going to be Dom time for the next 10 years.
God.
And it doesn't work out that way.
Unbelievable.
And it definitely didn't work out that way.
No, that what did he have at the break? Like 27 home runs, something
yes,
like that?
Yes, I think it was 27 home runs. And there's, you know, what's so sad about it was that, you remember, this was 2013. So in 2010 and 2011, where we lost in the playoffs, we were looking at deadline deals. Can't trade Dom Brown. He's going to be, oh, no, can't give him up. Oh, boy, maybe we could have given him up for something. Would have won another World Series.
How many years did he play after that, though, too? That is a really good one-hit wonder.
That's a good question. I don't remember the exact years, but that was the
– yeah.
Yeah, and he only had one real – and we say half a year, but it was really like a month or so that he was really good.
Yeah.
Maybe two, and that was it.
That is the unexplainable of sports, though. You know, how can a guy do that? You remember the guy that played for the Knicks, Lynn, the only Asian-American that I can – of
yeah.
normal –
Linsanity.
Yeah, Linsanity, and he averaged like 30 points a game for a couple of months, and then that was it. He went to the man bun. That's what it was.
Man bun. Was
I think what happened – I think what happens in baseball is that when these guys come up, you know, they throw them kind of a, you know, yep. a basic pitches and see what they can do. Then they get the book on them and say, okay, well, this guy's having trouble hitting this kind of a pitch, off speed, whatever. And if the guy can't adjust, that's it. One hit wonder.
Thank you, Scott. Dave in Oakland's got another sports one. Dave, who's yours?
David Tyree yep. and the Helmet Catch.
Yes.
That's a good answer.
Yeah,
he had 3 catches that year. He never caught a ball after that in his career. You want the famous Eli Manning quote?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. It's probably the luckiest play in NFL history. No one really blocked anyone. I was almost sacked. Just kind of rolled out and threw it up for grabs, and David catches it off his helmet. That's how we drew it up in practice. I never thought it would work. But sure enough, it did. Eli Manning.
That's a great one. And if he makes the Hall of Fame, oh, my God.
He
right
will.
There in camp. I accept the fate. It just corrupts
yeah.
all Halls of Fame.
500
really
record.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
The Hall of Fame should never have more than one guy a year in it, any sport.
Really?
It's if you really want the Hall of Fame, guys that get in with modern statistics, anybody can take those. And I love Richie Allen. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, really. Mm. I love them. But you got to have better statistics than that to be there. Okay, 855-839-1210. You get in. It is time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Yeah, so the money gone.
Ah, another $50 gift card for Ace Hardware. Did you receive an Ace Hardware gift card over the holidays in celebration of National Use Your Gift Card Day? This coming Saturday, January 18th, treat yourself to a wide selection of high-quality products at your local Ace Hardware. For more information, visit acehardware.com.
Yeah, Dom, so today we're playing a one-hit wonder, singing or covering a one-hit wonder. So, Dom, the song that we're playing today is...
Is it in Finnish?
No, it's not. It's in English. Okay. But it's Ram Jam's Black Betty, covered by somebody I would definitely consider a one-hit wonder, but you might argue with. So, Dom, we want to know who today's voice is singing Black Betty. Take a listen.
Whoa, Black Betty, bam a lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, bam a lamb. She's from Birmingham, bam a lamb, way down in Alabama. Bam a lamb, the way she shake that thing. Shake, bam a lamb, boy, she make me sing. Bam a lamb, whoa, Black Betty, yeah. Bam a lamb, whoa, Black Betty, bam a lamb, she really get me high. Bam a lamb, you know that's.
All right.
Who is the cover artist of today's song?
Great cover artist.
Oh,
this guy's good.
It's terrible.
Oh, cool. I don't think it's terrible.
It's biased.
You do?
I do
it's
think
not
it's
good.
It's
okay. 855-839. I usually have a pretty high standard on covers. I
mean. Oh, this is terrible.
Yeah. 855.
Might be up there with Taylor Swift.
How about Joe Pesci?
Yeah, Joe Pesci was pretty bad.
Someday you have to play the worst covers we've ever played, and it's remarkable. 855-839-1210. Hit us with that answer, and you are headed off to Ace Hardware.
It's the Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
All right, this is a moment of truth here. Who is it that is covering this song?
Black Mamma, she swears it's mine. Mamma Lamb, she must be out of her mind. Mamma Lamb, she must think I'm blind.
The guy can't do anything wrong in my eyes. Let's face it. He's right up there with Nick Foles. No matter what he does, it's fine. Let's go to Ed in Penshawken. Ed, who's covering that song?
Tom Jones.
Well, wait a minute. I don't think that's a fully correct answer. What's his first name? What goes before Tom? The title.
I only know him as Tom.
Yeah, but what's his title?
There you go.
Let's hear it, Dan.
Yes, this is actually from before he was a sir, apparently, from the album Mr. Jones by Tom Jones. Yes, the cover of Black Betty from 2001. Horrible. 2002, horrible.
All right, Ed, enjoy Ace Hardware. We'll get that off to you.
So, apparently, though, my argument was, Dom, I thought Tom Jones was a one-hit wonder because really all I knew was it's not unusual because of the Carlton bands.
Right. Yes.
Apparently, the guys had 5 top 10 hits and like 8 total. That's in like the top 15. So,
yeah,
I'm a little off base here.
You started to see him as more talent. I'm telling you, that thing with Janis Joplin's amazing. I couldn't believe he beat.
I wouldn't say amazing. I mean,
I was not expecting that, really. I mean, he's more of like a supernova lounge act, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lounge act is...
Yeah, that's how I describe him.
Super, though. Accurate. Super, yes.
He's the higher end of lounge act.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's hear some of Janis and the Tom Jones.
There you go. To understand that Janis Joplin was the, you know, not a mainstream music type of thing. I mean, it was really heavy duty with Tom Jones. I couldn't believe it.
Was Tom Jones like known as cool or was he?
No, that's what I mean. Yeah, Janis Joplin was the epitome of this stuff. So, and what did she die at? 27-ish?
Yeah,
something.
27
seemed several of them did.
It's the 27 Club.
Yes.
Jimi Hendrix,
yeah.
Kurt Cobain.
I wonder more how they reach the age of 27, let alone dying at it, given you know what they're doing all day.
Some of their habits.
Yeah.
The Lizard King.
Yeah. Okay.
Morrison.
So, all right, we got that. Ed, enjoy Sir Tom Jones. Apparently, in 2025, you might appear on the show. We're working on that. All right, 855-839-1210. You get in. Been a busy day here. I wanted to make sure I played this. Henry's been good enough. Now he's put it in blood. He actually used his own blood to make sure I play this. It's
blood-packed at this point.
Yeah, it's got stars around it. It's in color. It's in YouTube. It's on YouTube, right? You have this cut?
I don't have
cut
it loaded
one.
Up.
Yeah, but he doesn't have it loaded up.
It is. Yeah. I'm the one now that's failing.
Okay, I'll play it coming up then.
Yeah, I'll have it for you coming up.
Yeah, coming up. It is the L.A. Fire Department Deputy Chief. And blanching, this happened early on, at the question about, well, how are these female firefighters who don't look so good carry someone from a burning building? And you would think they'd have an answer. Well, you know, we have a technique, or that doesn't happen that often.
The video is really not worth anything. It's just
it's
a
not,
woman
okay.
podium. Here's the audio. Though.
Yeah, here's the deputy chief telling us about could she carry someone's husband out of a fire.
You want to see somebody that responds to your house, your emergency, whether it's a medical call or a fire call, that looks like you. It gives that person a little bit more ease, knowing that somebody might understand their situation better. Is she strong enough to do this? Or, you couldn't carry my husband out of a fire, which my response is, he got himself in the wrong place if I have to carry him out of a fire.
Imagine this response. We just were... Well, you got in the wrong place, so I can't carry you out of the fire, buddy. Good luck. So people, the credo there of the fire department, people that look like you racially or physically or gay or whatever, if they're showing up, you're going to feel better about fighting that fire than if some white guy showed up. That appears to be what they're doing, saying in L.A. And we see, again, what the results are. I'm not sure what strings will be attached to the money that's going to be spent. One outrageous moment today. I saw Doug Burgum, Dan, in person at the spin room. He didn't do an interview. He was surrounded by people. He'll be the Secretary of the Interior. But Doug Burgum, of all people, Mazie Hirono, who is the dumbest of the Democrats, and women, that really says she is. She's the one that said, what about a railroad across the Pacific to Hawaii? Her first question was, have you ever sexually assaulted, been involved outside your marriage, been charged with sexual assault, to Doug Burgum? And Burgum's looking like, who, me? Doug Burgum? Are you kidding me? As Secretary of the Interior. It's been a bad week for Democrats on this, and I think they're going to continue to try to postpone Tulsi Gabbard until they feel they've gotten some traction here. But it is a sign of how cavalier they are with the country, that they have not done Noam yet. They have not done Kristi Noem as Homeland Security. Do they not believe in her? She will not be in charge of Homeland Security by Inauguration Day. I don't know if she's going to be in charge anytime next week. Homeland Security is the point person on all this. I don't know. Are they waiting to get into the dog thing with her? I guess they're going to do that. I don't know that it has anything to do with Homeland Security. All I can tell you is, in the spin room, seeing the governor handle the media that were going after her and, you know, not asking questions about Trump or anything else, but the dog, she is very good on her feet, looks great on TV, very commanding. And I see why Trump chose her for this role. And we'll see if she can handle the questions. This is a really, really important role. And God knows when RFK Jr., when is that moment going to be? All right, 855-839-1210. You get on board. Coming up, more on the side question. And as if we needed it, I think it's good going forward, the Biden speech last night, a breakdown of who voted for Trump based on their finances. And who voted for the Democrat Party this time around? Biden talking, here we go again, about robber barons. Wild stuff yesterday. He's yesterday's news. But are Democrats still going to really try to make the case that they're the populist when the country believes clearly they're voting, et cetera, that Trump is? Now, can the Republican Party get them to believe the Republican Party is? They believe Trump is. That's going to be over the next few years, whether or not they can do that. All right, you get in, though, at 855-839-1210. All right, Dom Giordano's show. Dan, quickly, you reminded me something of Maisie Hirano. You think this is a ploy that she asked everybody this, even Pam Bondi, about the sexual assault charge.
Yeah, starting from Pete Hegseth, from right. I guess even before these hearings, it's been Maisie Hirono's thing that she leads off her questioning with.
My responsibility as a member of this committee to ensure the fitness of all nominees to come before any of the committees on which I sit, I ask the following two initial questions. First, since you became a legal adult, have
so there's a line of questioning, right. And she asked the same thing to Pam Bondi, and she asked it to Doug Burgum. And now people are going crazy on Twitter about why would she ask Doug Burgum this? Well, I think this is bait that she puts out there to try to corner conservatives into having to defend not asking questions about sexual abuse histories. So I feel like she's been asking this for a long time, right. Hoping that someone would pick it up and be like, oh, why is she asking about this? So she can make the point, well, we need to be asking about this.
All right, we'll see. I'll keep my eye on that one. I mentioned before all this talk of Biden, about oligarchs, etc. Batya Unger Sargon. Wild name, I know. I've interviewed her several times. Newsweek, I think, deputy editor. She points out on Twitter, Trump won people making under $100,000 a year, while the Democrats won those making over $100,000. Biden had two billionaires to every one Trump had. 75% of hedge fund people gave money to Kamala. Nine out of 10 of the richest counties and 65% making over $500,000 are led by Democrats. Every accusation from Democrats is a confession of where their party is. That in large measure. Now, you can argue, oh, come on now, you guys have the rich people. And I look at Elon Musk. You can make an argument. But it's pretty clear where their party has gone. Elites, allegedly, the coast, all that type of stuff. And Trump is much more the populist, even won the popular vote. That's the single most shocking thing out of the election cycle to me. How is that possible? All right, let's go to Robert in Bensalem here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert, welcome in.
Hey, Dom, Dan, it's good to talk to you guys today. If I could touch on the TikTok issue real quick. It seems to me there's you know that I'm not for banning anything. I think I have a long history of that. I kind of agree with Henry on that aspect, but there are other things to consider. One being security and subversion, which you and Dan have articulated well, and I understand that. But there's a third one as well, the trade issue. X, Facebook, and Google are all banned in China. And whether or not we decide to culturally or morally do something about stopping TikTok, at the very least, that should be a bargaining chip when dealing with China. If you want access to our market with TikTok, then you should be granting access to our companies in China with their social media platforms.
Yeah, that's another great point. And again, people have to realize TikTok won't go away. It's an American company. We're trying to take away some of the security part of this. And Robert, I just reacted because I really love Mike Waltz, and he comes on Fox and Friends today and kind of says gibberish because Trump likes the fact that young people like Trump, and he thinks TikTok is the reason.
That might be it, but I think that people get nervous when they get out of their comfort zone. For instance, when you were talking with Rand Paul about this at the gathering up at the community college, and you were very calm and laid back, and Dan, you can check the video on this. As soon as the issue turned to TikTok, your right foot started tapping, like you weren't sure of where this was all going to go. But I think that if we consider all three angles when we make a decision on this, we'll be better served than to just doing it in a knee-jerk fashion relating to just one issue. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
I think there's another fourth issue, too, Robert, and I think you can vouch for this. I don't know if you've ever heard of the app WeChat, but it's become almost an entire lifestyle app. It controls currency, messaging, emails for the Chinese people. And the ultimate goal for Elon, he's stated it publicly, the ultimate goal for the owners of TikTok are to essentially become, you know, life online, having full control over life online. And I think to your trade argument, it's important that if we're going to give these graces to China to enter into our markets, you're 100% right. You need to, China needs to open up their eyes and allow, you know, Western ideology on their people.
And even if they allow it, though, they're going to censor it at some level. So, you know, they're never going to allow it untrammeled. So why would we then, with an enemy, allow them to do the damage they're doing?
Well, I would submit to you that I don't, if you're worried about it, like subverting to youth or something like that, or changing the culture of America, I hear you on that. But we had a much bigger threat in that regard right here at home with the mainstream media, and we're seeing through their nonsense finally. So I don't think that TikTok is going to make as big a dent in our psyche as our mainstream media did.
Well, I would argue, though, yeah, I think a lot of the mainstream media narrative that you see developing is all rooted in trying to appeal to ESG ratings.
Gaza,
and China.
Gaza.
Well, no, it all goes back to China, because they're trying to enter into this giant market of China to appeal to these Chinese investors, so they have to play the game. So there is ideological subversion, similarly to what's happening on TikTok, by this mainstream media.
Richard Gere can't appear in movies anymore.
Well, subversion notwithstanding, I think that we're strong enough to handle whatever TikTok can throw at us. But from a trade and from a security or subversion standpoint, I hear what you guys are saying. But I don't want to take too much time. My answer to the side question is Mildred and Patty Smith Henry, two sisters that in 1893 wrote the song Happy Birthday and were never heard from again. You guys have yourselves a great day. Okay?
Great answer. He was sitting on that one for a while. That is a really, really good one. We have great ones. All this coming because Crossing Broad, great sports website, did one-hit wonders in the Philadelphia area. One was the chicken guy. I thought we didn't say that today. I think I'm still right on Twitter. You can let me know that Harper Lee, Dan contests this because of Truman Capote, is a one-hit wonder, a brilliant one-hit wonder. But Dan, the only time she surfaced again that I was aware of is when she did this sequel to Kill a Mockingbird. So, you know, it seems to be, it is the book that Americans have said, PBS survey year after year. That's the book to read. I think the film is better. Gregory Peck in To Kill a Mockingbird is unbelievable. Gary in Newtown, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Dom. How are you?
Good.
Going back to earlier in the show, while we're talking about TikTok, can we just not forget about the 25,000 Chinese militant-age men that are here illegally, too, to get them out? We're going to have to go through a vote on that, too.
That's one of the biggest conundrums, the Chinese penetrating our security. Yeah.
So my side question answer is, it's kind of funny how as soon as you say big hit wonder, I'm thinking, you know how your mind just goes to one specific thing and then you listen to all the other callers. I'm like, I could have went with that. But this one really got me. His guy's name is Joey Meyer. And it's exactly opposite to what Dan's guy was with the Beanie Babies, because this kid hit 585 feet at a game in June of 1987 and went on to play with the Major League Brewers, but really never really amounted to anything.
Was that the guy that was in Sports Illustrated? You're talking about in the Little League and stuff like that?
Where's Dan?
All right, I'll put you down for that.
No. So I looked into this.
Yeah.
Joey Meyer, he hit a 586-foot home run for whatever minor league team was in Denver at the time in the 80s. It's considered to this day the longest home run ever recorded. Officially.
And then not much after that. Okay.
And he never cracked the majors, I don't think.
Leslie Fishbein had a great one. Mikey, the kid who was in all those commercials, the milk thing and all that.
Even I know about that.
Whatever happened to him after that. Yeah. It's an all-timer. All right. It is the lightning round coming up, 855-839-1210. I hope you're making plans, though, on Inauguration Day. I mean, the last time we were at the Knack over in Bucks County, fabulous. We'll have some people there with us, some of the regulars on stage, you, and we'll, of course, play the moment when Trump becomes president. But he actually becomes president in high noon, whether the oath is done by then or it's not even started at that point. Little hard to tell. Constitutionally, he has the power of the presidency. Not Joe Biden. And Michelle Obama is being hailed as the one person of integrity because she decides not to show up. Well, why didn't she show up for Jimmy Carter, though? Come on. She would not be able to run for president. We've talked about this before. Any kind of criticism, any pushback, you're not allowed to be anywhere near that. And if you run for president, you're going to get that. All right, 855-839-1210.
Some fun developing a YouTube chat again, Dom. Newman Price. I don't know if you know this, but regular chatter Newman Price, youtube.com/at12wphd. He works as one of those people that goes around and serves individuals with lawsuits. And that's why he never calls us. And I tried telling him one time, I go, wouldn't that make for great radio if Newman just in the middle of the call drops the phone or says,
yes,
you've been served and, you know, hops back on. So I implore Newman and any other people out there with those hyper interesting jobs, even if they might be active in the job, give us a ring sometime.
As it's going down. Yes, we heard from the ladies on the ranch. They want the salmon shirt. I'm trying to comply on Monday. Dan will comply with that pink suit he got at a
green
sale.
Suit. Green suit.
Green suit. I'm sorry. Green suit. The salmon's on my mind. Why salmon?
I can get a pink suit, though.
Rose out there, I had a pink suit once with a little blue trim going through
it. Nice
it was a whole
suit.
Story. Oh, no. Man. And I had the rust-colored leisure suit. If I had that, I would wear it to the neck. I'll see if Rose has some chains that she found the other day. I'm definitely will have a chain on. It's a special day, special thing to celebrate.
Got the collar open and everything.
Oh, yeah. There might be some chest hairs there, so just saying. 855-839-1210. Get in on the lightning round.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
All right, it is the lightning round. Hit us with that all-time one-hit wonder. We've had some...
did some research during the breakdown.
Yes, all right. And what do you have?
I found a salmon suit for you to wear.
Oh, I don't know about a suit.
It's on clearance over at Men's Warehouse for $40.
Wait a minute.
$40 for the entire suit.
I have to snap that up. All right.
But the thing is, I went through the whole process of getting it shipped. It won't be here in time for inauguration.
A men's warehouse. So close, that means I just need a shirt here. The salmon shirt will be enough.
It's not salmon anyway.
It's raspberry.
That's a little bit. We have to have real salmon.
It's a muted kind of pink.
I will have as my lunch salmon that day, too. I might say it salmon.
But salmon.
All right. Ro may be at this. We're working that out with her tutoring schedule, but anything's possible on Inauguration Day. 855-839-1210. Just hit us with that all-time one-hit wonder. And the TikTok stuff, we had a great call on that today, kind of defending, don't go after TikTok. Looks to me like anything can happen with this. If I had to bet, Trump is going to, based upon what we played you today with Mike Waltz, he's going to swoop in here and say there's a deal on the table, we need some time, so don't shutter it. But he's not president when the shuttering's supposed to happen, which is on, apparently, Sunday. Unless the Supreme Court says something completely different here. Which way will the Supreme Court go on it?
Do the right thing.
Anybody's right guess here. I would say, well, you can't tell with John Roberts. So
Newman Price over on YouTube, our serving guy, just said, hey, new one yesterday, Dan. Person I serve wanted me to do it again so she could record it and post it to Instagram.
Oh, my God. Imagine being served. We still have that process where they have to physically track you down
and find them down
and tell them you're served.
Dress in disguises and show up at their workplace.
It's got to be dangerous, though. I mean, is it disgruntled dads that some women are serving? They must be the number one.
Strapped to do it, right?
Yeah, if you can ask them, who's the number one demographic that he's serving, you know, all
he's
this
listening.
Paper.
Yeah, Newman, who's the number one demographic you're serving?
Yeah, exactly.
A couple minutes live in here.
Yeah, okay, let's go to Bill in Monco. Bill, who's your one-hit wonder?
Well, it happened because I Googled who Iraq is selling the oil to these days, and it's China. So my one-hit wonder is Bush Jr., who did real well in the aftermath of 9/11, united the country. Then we didn't get Bin Laden in December of 2001. We went in Afghanistan and tried to nation build, eventually lost that, went into Iraq for weapons of mass destruction, and too big to fail. So he had his moment right after 9/11, and that was his one hit.
That is a very good one. I would agree with you on that. I have a lot of antagonism toward the Bushes up and down the line. Please clap. Let's go to Paul. I thought about this one as my own today and came up with Harper Lee. Thank you, Jeb. $125 million, I think it was. Did he get one delegate? Was that about it, Jeb Bush? And he had Jeb with the exclamation point after his name.
Oh, great branding. Very creative.
And you know what? All these Trump nicknames, some of them are pretty lame. I mean, you just pick Crooked Hillary, you know, just random. But low energy with Jeb Bush.
Don, that's, you're a classy guy.
Thank you. Well, that one sticks.
So it's the wrong button.
We'll low energy. Yeah, low energy is the one that did stick. I'm impressed by that one. Paul in the Northeast. The Northeast. Whoever put Henry put that up, or Dan. The Northeast.
Whatever it comes up as, that's what I just keep it at.
Okay, the Northeast. The Northeast. Hey, Paul, how is where is the Northeast located, Paul?
Excuse me?
Where is the Northeast located?
Oh, Roanhurst.
Okay. Well, we could say, or the Greater Northeast. I've always liked that, the Greater Northeast. Yeah, yeah, something about the Northeast. All right, Paul, okay. What do you have?
February 11th, 1990, Tokyo Dome. Number 8 rank, Buster Douglas. Knocks out. Number 1 rank, Iron Mike Tyson in the 10th round. 6 months later, he appears on the cover of an EA Sports game and is never seen again.
Yeah, and did Tyson fight him again? If I were Douglas, can you imagine?
I don't believe there was a rematch.
No, because, you know, Tyson not fooling around, what's going to happen? I mean, it's could be very, very bad. That's a good one, though. Buster Douglas somehow or another knocking out Mike Tyson, or technical knockout, whatever it was. I still would say, out of all the fighters ever, seeing him come into the ring, the one that should strike fear in your heart the most is Tyson. In his prime. And I interviewed him. I thought he was brilliant. Really. I don't know if I had that interview anywhere. I forget what it was for, but he was very logical, very good. I didn't hear any tigers in the background he was playing with or anything else.
He didn't sound like a guy that gets punched in the head.
No, not at all. He sounded very... Michael Vick, the same thing. Redeemed guy.
You know, there are some conspiracy theories that the whole Madden curse that you hear of often began with Buster Douglas, actually.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Appeared on the cover and... career was forever changed.
Here's another guy who had a one-hit wonder, pretty much. Bill and Bucks, who's yours, Bill?
Well, it is literally a one-hit wonder. He's a professional boxer named Leon Spinks, who in 1978 defeated Muhammad Ali for the world heavyweight championship.
Yeah,
and then lost 6 months later.
I would call Dr. Bence if Leon Spinks came into the building. He might need a little help there. Thank you, Bill. Yeah, that joke didn't work.
I thought he was going to laugh, so I didn't open the book.
Yeah, yeah. I thought, let's go to Jerry in Wilmington. All right, Jerry, who's yours?
Wilmington. Hey, I just threw this because I want to sing. No, you got to be a little older to remember this. Remember William Hung on American Idol 2004?
Oh,
he's Korean.
Yes.
And he goes, "She bangs, she bangs, she's driving me crazy." And they did. The judges didn't like him, but he went off. America loved him, and he was famous for a little while, but, you know, haven't heard since. You blow me off like it's all the
same. You lit it fierce and yeah, the show seemed to be outside the box there.
I keep it up wrong.
All right. 855-839-1210. You get on board. All right, Henry, let's hear some possible contenders here.
Shout out Don and Chuck. You had great answers today. We just didn't get to you. I think best answer today, why not Joey Meyer from Gary in Newtown?
Yeah, that hello, didn't do a whole lot for me. 580-foot home run. Yeah, it was for some research. I mean, 580-foot home run, but I guess it could happen.
Farthest
it doesn't
home
run
ever
none
recorded?
Of them did anything. We just had a guy singing She Bangs on the radio.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. All right, what do you like?
I got to put him up there for at least the courage of coming on our show to sing that. But I really like Jaden and Honeybrook, his answer of Carson Wentz. He had like a year and a half, I guess it was, that he was. But that one MVP-caliber season before the injury, I think that's a fantastic.
Is there anybody non-sports? I was trying to stay away from the sports. Those were two good sports
ones. Well, Robert had a great answer. Mildred and Patti Smith Hill, the writers of Happy Birthday.
Margaret Mitchell.
Yeah. The happy birthday.
W.
Well, local. I guess I can go with Jaden. It was a good call, too. Let's go with Jaden Carson Wentz. Yeah, let's put him into the hat. I'll have to look up the Joey Meyer guy. All right, we are back tomorrow, probably sports films Bob Uecker passes at the age of 90. Might do that. Follow on Twitter until then, at DomShow1210, at DomShow1210. Richie always next for four big hours to take you home. Thanks for listening today, each and every day. And do follow on Twitter and hit me with a few more on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.